Hello, friends, and welcome to the Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Brits.
And I'm Jason.
And today, we're talking about our time murdering stuffed animals in order to save our relationship, and it takes two. Would you murder a stuffed animal to save our relationship? Oh, he's hesitating.
Well.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, friends. This is it. This is the beginning.
Here's the thing, is that... We did murder a stuffed animal to save our relationship, and you were horrified. But...
What?
Well, we did murder a stuffed animal.
In real life?
No, in the game.
Oh.
Fake life.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was like, we did? How drunk were we? Because I don't remember that. But you're talking about in the game.
Well, now I'm thinking about what it would look like to murder a stuffed animal in real life.
It would be a fluffy mess. Well, friends, I think I got my answer. I think you heard it here first. He's clearly stalling and trying not to answer the question. So I guess I can't expect him to go on a murder
spree. Which stuffed animal are we talking about?
Yeah, see, exactly. That's my point. congratulations to Hazelight Studios on It Takes Two. It is scoring anywhere from an 86 to a 90 on Metacritic across all platforms.
Well deserved.
That is well deserved. It's a huge accomplishment. And they should be incredibly, incredibly proud of themselves. So we previewed It Takes Two earlier this month. I think it was March 2nd. And at that time, we had only time with the first two chapters of the game, which was a couple hours. So we talked about a lot of like the ins and outs at length, but we thought we would elongate.
Go on. I like where you're going.
I was going to say erect, but that doesn't
we,
work.
We can erect an idea.
Expand, elongate, whatever. We're
going to
talk.
This game.
We're going to talk more. What did you say? You're laughing at something. You must have said something really stupid.
No. I mean, we're here to erect a story about this game and an overview and an analysis about the game, right? So you can expand and elongate.
Real.
So we can expand and elongate on what we talked about earlier.
I am so distracted by your hair right now.
This is pandemic hair right here. This is my pandemic do.
He literally, friends, has like the biggest like poof on his head.
I'm going to start needing to wear, like, do you have a hairband?
Yeah, I have lots you can have.
All right.
Oh, crap. I just rubbed my eye and I just moved my contact. Oh, no, I can't read the show notes. Oh, crap. Oh, no. Okay.
This is your challenge.
It hurts.
Is it back? Is it back?
Oh, no. It's gone. Where is my contact? No. How did I do that? Anyway, regardless, I'm going to try this with one eye until I can get it back.
What's up, Popeye?
So this game...
Oh my God. Just pause the show and go get a new contact.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, the editing has to be...
How did you gnome yourself? You are a gnome. You know that?
Okay, we're back. I have fixed my eyeball. I can now see without squinting.
I kind of like the Popeye look.
Screw you. Okay, yeah, so I don't know how
You're just trying to attract Majima. That's all that's going on.
Goro Majima, yes. My Yakuza husbando. Anyway, again, this game released on March 26th, 2021. I don't know why I started going like this, 2021. But it is now out. It is an action-adventure platforming game developed by Hazelight Studios, published by EA for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. There is no cross-play. It supports both local and online co-op for up to two players. It is PvE. There are some PvP mini games that are fun. And worth noting, it has a friend pass, which means only one person needs to own the game for you to play with someone else.
Cool.
So if I was like, yo, Jason, I love you. I'm moving to Australia. I'd only have to own one copy of the game for us to play together.
You'd also have to explain to me why you're moving to Australia, because that's a bit of a problem. I would expect you to move to Japan and go find Majima.
I would murder a stuffed animal for you. That's all I'm saying. And the MSRP is $39.99. So here's a brief plot overview. Were you going to say something snarky?
No, you go on with your bad self, bro.
Okay, so play as the clashing couple, Cody and May, two humans turned into dolls by a magic spell. Together, trapped in a fantastical world where the unpredictable hides around every corner, they are reluctantly challenged with saving their fractured relationship. Embrace a heartfelt and hilarious story where narrative and gameplay weave into a uniquely metaphorical experience. So, a few quick facts about It Takes Two before we dive into our thoughts about it, is that this game is only co-op and it is designed from the ground up for co-op. Think of It Takes Two like a rom-com. There will not be choices that you can make that will impact the narrative, so don't worry about being responsible for a failed relationship. There aren't any numbered lives or level timers, but you do have health in some search situations, and think that you will have to spend about 12 to 14 hours to complete this bad boy, and there will be no collectibles or other shiny shit. Those are some of the top notes that I had from my preview event, which I thought was worth mentioning at the top of the show.
Yeah, I was surprised at how beefy this game is. 12 to 14 hours, it's beefy, but I do got to say that the game doesn't overstay its welcome.
Agreed.
Yeah, it keeps things fresh and new, just like every relationship should.
Oh, and look at you, there? Dr. Hakim. See there? Dr. Hakim is the name of the book that is like guiding Cody and May through their relationship trials and tribulations.
So I got to say, I want to paint the picture for somebody who has never seen a screenshot or a video of this game. And they're like, all right, this is the first time I've heard of this game. What the fuck does this, what's the deal with this game? So you have a vertical split screen. Wait, is this game online co-op or is it only local?
It's online and co-op. I literally said that in the TLDR, Demers. Well, you know how many times we've done, listeners, I know you know this, how many times I've gone through all the facts and he's like, actually, I have a question about the thing you just mentioned.
All right, look, if
selective
I didn't...
Selective hearing is what my dad calls it.
Oh, fair enough. So we played this in local. So for us, we had this vertical split screen where I was on the right, you were on the left.
No, I'm not sure though. I think that vertical split screen might be there if you're playing online with someone.
Okay. Well,
I feel, and I might be wrong, so sorry if I am, but I feel like that might be the case.
Yeah. Well, in any case, it worked out just fine. I mean, I never had any issues with the split screen.
No, none at all.
This game, it's most closely comparable in terms of gameplay style, I would say, to like a Mario game. You are a character who runs around in platforms, forward, backward, left, right, jumps, butt stomps, long jumps, high jumps.
That's like the base of the gameplay.
That's the base of the gameplay. I'm just trying to paint a picture of what this game looks like. And one, in terms of visuals, one thing that we always come back to, or the one thing that we talked about in the preview event, was how it has this Honey, I Shrunk the Kid vibe, right?
Yeah, it has this like Honey, I Shrunk the Kid vibe when you're playing the game, but when you're looking at it artistically and visually, think of like a photorealistic Pixar-esque type of game.
Yeah.
And before we were talking about off the show, we're like, hey, it kind of reminds us of Toy Story. And then we realized that Toy Story came out in 1995 and neither one of us has seen any Toy Story since then.
Nope.
So I'm sure this game actually looks way better than Toy Story originally did, but it does kind of have that photorealistic
Pixar vibe, yeah.
Bright colors, like really cool textures, really fantastic facial animations. And I think that really lends itself to the type of gameplay that this game supports.
Yeah, buttery smooth frame rates. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so like you said, it kind of has like the base gameplay of a Mario game.
Yeah.
And by that, we mean it's a platformer.
It's a platformer.
At its heart.
At its heart, yeah.
But its core. What Hazelight Studios does so fucking well, and I'm so impressed by, is they change that formula up. So while you always will have like that basic platformy type of controls, you know, you might have like a gun in one level that you're trying to use to complete puzzles, or maybe you'll have a magnet or something that you can use to attract your partner with, or maybe you'll be in a top-down dungeon crawler. So it's like, while like you have those basic platform mechanics, like you're not just platforming this whole game.
No, I mean, it at some parts of the game,
and they do so good at everything.
Oh, it's
they're
really
so good.
Good
at everything.
I know. So there's a lot of parts in the game where you feel like you're on a roller coaster ride, and the gameplay is like, okay, you know, you have to have timing based jumps and switches. What are you doing? Are you still, is your eye still fucked
up?
I
think I have lint in my eyeball.
Oh my god.
I don't know why. I'm on the struggle bus with my right eyeball tonight.
Okay. We need to get you some eye drops. Somebody get you some eye drops.
Oh.
All right. Are you able to continue?
I am. Just don't mind me for looking over here and I'm like blinking.
Parts of this game, you are on rails. Parts of the game, you are top-down dungeon crawling like isometric. Parts of the game, the screen combines into one and you lose the split screen and you're both moving in a left-to-right platforming style. I mean, the game is constantly changing and keeping things new, interesting, and fresh, and I fucking love it. Like, it's they did so good.
They did so good at everything they did with it.
It's like they mashed up a bunch of different genres and put little pieces of lots of genres into this game at different parts of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know what it's like? It's kind of like you go to a restaurant and you get the sampler platter. You know what I mean? And
I know. I don't remember restaurants. It's been so
yeah,
long,
restaurants. But. What's that? We have not been to one since before COVID. But yeah, you get the sampler, and it's the most expensive thing on the menu, but you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I feel like this is kind of like that, because you do get a little bit of just lots of pieces of different genres.
Really yummy, like it's like a cheese plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really yummy cheeses and crackers and jam and olives and apricots. I miss cheese plates.
You're just dreaming about pre-COVID days now.
I am. I miss it. But I think that's a really good point. And speaking to that, we talked about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids vibes earlier.
Yeah.
And I think during our preview event, we really leaned into that, because the first two levels that we saw were the shed and the like inside of a tree and some like beehives and other cool shit.
Yeah. Like out in the yard, in the backyard.
Yeah. And, yeah. But as we've progressed through the game and gone past those initial few levels, I think the levels have more shifted to be more about themes rather than like, oh no, you're just a tiny little miniature version of yourself in like the real human world. So for example, there's like a level that takes place inside a snow globe.
Yeah. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so like, that's really fun to go explore and visit the little snow town and find little like things to do.
Like you can find little piles of snowballs and pick them up and you can throw them at your co-op partner and it like stuns them and knocks them down.
Oh, I'm very well aware.
We had snowball fights. It was so much fun.
You were so aggressive in your snowball throwing.
You're just jealous that I was pelting your ass. You were.
I was trying to be all peaceful. Like actually, let's be real. It's because my aiming sucks. So I was like, I'll just throw up the white flag. There's also like a child's playroom where you have like a ball pit and you have little miniature figurines, and you know, you get to interact with all these like little kid toys. It feels very much almost like a playground, like a theme park.
Yes, exactly. So a theme park is exactly what I was going to say. So you know how at like Disney World, you've got the different areas of the theme park. You've got Frontierland and you've got Tomorrowland and you've got like, what are the other lands? I mean, there's more, but
there's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, there's like Spooky Land. I don't know. But
no, that's definitely not it.
There's like Adventureland. Anyway, so you go to Disney World, and there are all these different lands. And I feel like this game is like, it gives you that taste because, you know,
there's a lot of different biomes.
Biomes, lands, environments, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. And I don't want to like give them all away, but just to give one more, like there's one where you're in space.
Ooh.
And I really liked that one. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them that are just so cool.
And so what's so great about it is like you were saying, they have all these different, so you're in space. And once you've talked about a child's playroom inside a snow globe. And these aren't, like, for the most part, small little areas. I mean, there's a lot of exploration that can be done with them. And, of course, like, your ultimate goal is to complete the objectives, get to the end, defeat the boss, move on to the next chapter. But what we find ourselves doing is just going around and exploring and finding all these little fun little Easter eggs and details that activities that have been sprinkled in there by the devs.
Some of them are like co-op activity or like PvP 1v1 activities. Some of them are just like, let's go fuck with the townspeople and make, remember that time we flipped the guy off the swing?
Yeah. I still feel kind of bad about that. he went really far. Like
there's no way he survived that.
Whoops. And so you have not only like these very, very, very varied different biomes with these fun little Easter eggs and details sprinkled in, then on top of that, each chapter has its own gameplay mechanic.
Mechanic, yeah.
So we've talked about in the preview event how you had the sap gun and I had the match gun or whatever, and we were able to make explosions.
And just to like reiterate, because for people who didn't hear that episode, like I would squirt things with sap and then you could squirt them with like this match gun, which would light it on fire and explode. So we couldn't kill anything individually. Only when we combined our work together. Yeah.
There's another area where I had a hammer and you had nails and we had to use that to our advantage. There's one where you have magnets or one half of a magnet.
There's even one where you were like a melee and had a sword and I was like a mage and had a wand.
Oh, that was so perfect.
Which was perfect because that's
how we always rock anyway.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah. And so again, just like a huge props to Hazelight Studios, because I'm so impressed with how much they've grown since A Way Out.
Yeah.
And during the preview event, Joseph did say, like, we've grown a lot. And of course, like, everyone, you know, talks out their ass and they say that stuff. But, like,
they really have.
Yeah. Like, he was not lying. it almost makes you wonder, like, you kind of want them to try making an isometric dungeon crawler.
Oh, yeah. They'd kick ass at it.
They nailed it. Like, for the little level it was, like, it was really good. And you can tell a lot of attention went into it.
Yeah. So you were talking about how you have this unique gameplay mechanic per biome or environment. It kind of reminds me of, in Zelda, like the older Zeldas, not Breath of the Wild, but in the older Zeldas, how you would get it to a temple and you would find an item in that temple, you know, like maybe the hookshot, for example, and then you would need that item to get you through the rest of the temple,
right.
And then ultimately defeat the boss. It's the same thing with It Takes Two. With every environment, you're going to have a new mechanic, be it, you know, your hammer and your nails or your sap gun and your match gun or whatever the mechanic is. It's always something new and interesting. It's usually based on physics or timing or some sort of puzzle element. And you need it to get through that environment and ultimately defeat the boss.
Yeah, and then once you get through it, the difference is once you get through these levels, you don't have that same mechanic available again. Whereas in Zelda, you always have it. But it's just one mechanic per level, which I think is good and it keeps it clean. Yeah, I mean, like, without diving too much into detail, like, again, like, they did a fantastic job at keeping the gameplay fresh and exciting, which is why the 12 to 14 hours could seem alike a lot, but... And I have seen from other people in the industry that they felt like this game was a little padded. I would not agree with that because I think, again, they did such a good job at keeping it fresh and new.
Yeah.
That I never have felt bored with a mechanic. And I mean, some are more exciting than others, sure. But there's never been one where I'm like, this is dull or this is boring or whatever. And I'm really happy that the game seems to be shifting more in a thematic way rather than like, hey, it's just Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
You're just fighting giant bees and like getting fuses on legs that are bigger than you and running.
No, I mean, the game, it gets better and better as it goes.
For sure.
And that's one thing that really surprised me and just like made me really happy about the game is that the first two chapters, while they're fun, they're almost the weakest chapters. Yeah. And that's okay because they're saving, like, the game is progressively getting better with new and more interesting.
What they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, whoa, this looks cool. And then you're like, damn, that was awesome. And then the next environment comes and you're like, holy shit, that was even better.
And so whenever you get introduced to a new biome, like, I remember when we saw the snow globe, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I love snow levels. Like, it's so fun. Even the water area wasn't frustrating. Typically water areas are like notorious for being like stupid, but this one was not. It was really like well done. The other thing that's fun too in these levels that you can find are the mini games.
Yes.
I know you have a weird obsession with the word panic whacking ever since our preview event. Like, you have not been able to stop saying it. So in the preview event, there's these little like PvP mini games sprinkled throughout the levels, right? And I would say like throughout the chapters, I should say, I don't know, even from like 2 to 4, depending.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
And they're very fun. It's just like you versus your partner. And the one that we talked about last week was Whack-A-Mole, but Whack-A-Cody.
Yeah.
And I panicked and you called it panic whacking.
And we played the game again on our second playthrough. And you panic whacked.
I panicked whacked so hard.
And we had a hell of a time.
Yeah, whatever. But we found some other fun ones. There was a horse racing one. There was one shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard on the ice stage. Yeah. I don't
know, is that called something else? Ice shuffleboard?
I'm not sure. I think it was just called shuffleboard.
Is it called just shuffleboard?
Oh, to Google. Here she goes.
Shuffleboard with ice. I'm sorry. I'm so stupid. Curling. It's called curling.
Oh, well, I think the game actually calls it shuffleboard. Like, there's an actual sign. Because it is more
shuffleboard because you don't have someone with a cool little, like, broom thing. Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
These little mini games, I would say that they're almost like Mario Party-esque. Like, they're really simple. Like, they tell you, like, you know, mash Y, or maybe it's a timing-based game where you have to jump at the right time to avoid the obstacles. And all you got to do is just do better than your co-op partner.
Yeah.
So they're either physics-based, timing-based, platforming-based, or like who can mash the hardest.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes some strategy involved, like in the Whack-A-Cody. But these little mini games are, it's like little bits and pieces of Mario Party almost. Like, I feel like if this game was... if this was a game that was this is like a mashup of multiple games and IPs that like all had a baby. It's got to be like Pixar, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Mario, Zelda, Mario Party, and Disney World, and maybe Sonic the Hedgehog.
Because Sonic?
Because of all the on rails, like there's a lot of on rails stuff in the game.
I don't know what kind of abomination you've created.
This is like an orgy result of all of those different games and IPs put together, and that's what you get. But it's awesome. It's like a Frankenstein of all these things that is awesome. I love it.
You know, Diverse, you just live in that little head of yours with that big, and let me say, you have a very big brain. I'm sure it's very a handsome brain. But if that makes sense to you, then I say, like, you go on with your bad self. That,
I'm going to go on with my self.
That's actually not a bad mashup. Like, it's really not.
If you add all these things together mathematically.
Put them all into, like, a pot and stir it together.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. Again, like, this game, there's something for everybody in this. Yes. And we haven't touched a lot on, like, the story of the game, but obviously there is a story, and the whole idea is you're trying to bring these characters back together, and that's kind of what ties some of these puzzle mechanics together. It explains some of the locations, why these characters are where they are. Definitely not like the main focus of the story, so like we don't need to talk about it. I mean, not the main focus of the game, excuse me, because I think the main focus is the gameplay itself, the puzzle solving, the cooperative gameplay, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So a few other things I want to touch on real quick before we wrap this up is I've seen some questions from people wondering whether or not this game is something that they could play with their significant other if that person isn't accustomed to playing these kind of video games. And my gut reaction, you can let me know what you say, is like, I think it's worth a shot, but just be prepared that you have to do a lot of camera control. There's aiming, there's shooting, there's timing, there's coordination. There's, you know, you have to be accurate in your platforming, like,
yeah, my initial
there's double jumps and dashes, so actually I kind of take it back, like
butt stomps. I mean, you need to be familiar with, like, yeah, modern platforming mechanics and elements and camera control using a right stick while your character moves using the left stick
while aiming and shooting,
shooting, timing based, physics based games and mechanics. This is probably not for a beginner, honestly.
And I don't know if there's a demo out. I saw one article that said there was a demo, and I don't know off the top of my head. If there is one, perfect. If there's not, maybe look at some of the gameplay, and you'll have to judge your partner's skills. But yeah, it's not the easiest game to play. It's not like a 39 Days to Mars or Kalimba or something where you can only have to
left, right, or jump. Right. Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about, and this isn't something that affected Jason or I, but some criticisms I've seen from other people is that this game does talk about divorce quite often. And while the game has been meant to be like a lighthearted rom-com, it's not meant to be like an actual game with scientific therapeutic advice where you know how to save your relationship. So in that sense, I think it takes the topic of divorce lightly because that's like the point of this game. But some people who maybe have gone through a divorce themselves or whose parents have gone through a divorce, it might be a little triggering for them because it does kind of push the idea of, hey, your marriage is like shot to shit and you're both talking about divorce. Well, just do all these few things together and everything will be fine. And again, like, I get it's just a game. It's like just a lighthearted story, but just something to be aware of.
Yeah, the game doesn't come across to me as something that most people are probably going to take seriously. I mean, these characters don't behave like real people who are going through a divorce. They just don't.
And it's not trying
to. They laugh and joke and they giggle and they make crack jokes and they seem like, frankly, like they're friends, but they just have like some communication issues.
And yeah, again, like we said earlier, the main focus of this game is not really the story. Like, so while, you know, you do have these levels that are based off these rules or these therapy lessons, like they're not trying to preach it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just like, you know, I'm not going to tell you like what you can handle, what you can't, but just, I think if that, you think that could be an issue, but you still want to play the game, just go into it knowing that it's silly. It's not meant to be taken seriously, yeah, but it could still be something that might.
I definitely think there are certain people who are going to, you know, be, if they're sensitive to this sort of thing, they may get triggered by it. And that's,
they'll be turned off by it.
That's okay. Yeah. But I think if you're nervous about it, I think it's still worth giving it a shot and seeing if it really does, because this is a gameplay game. This is not a story game.
Right. Just keep that expectation in the back of your noggin.
Yep.
But otherwise, like, I mean, again, like, we've gushed about it a lot. It's so incredibly well done. I think we were both very, very surprised by how much we really, really like this game. It's definitely very unique, and I don't think we've played something quite like this before.
No, I mean, I can't think of another game that was built from the ground up for co-op like this. that was so advanced. Like, I mean, some games, for instance, I'm thinking of like 39 Days to Mars is built. Actually, I don't know if that's built ground up for co-op.
You can play by yourself.
Okay. So I don't even know if I can think of another game that's built. I know they're out there, but here's what I'm trying to say. This game is, it feels like the first game I've ever played that was built ground up for co-op and did it to the perfect, not perfect, I'm not gonna say perfect, but it did it to
it
the...
It gave it the energy and effort of like a
like
triple
A. Yeah, triple A, that's what
see,
I was gonna say.
Pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah, you picked that up.
No,
I was trying to get that out.
And I know a lot of people can be turned off by that because these games do require two people to play and it's not a single player game. So I think a lot of developers and publishers try to tend to shy away from that because you're gonna put all this money into a game where you are going to require two people to play it. Like, how easy is that for people? How feasible is that?
Right.
And that obviously translates into maybe lower sales. But I think that's so great that Hazelight and EA were able to work together on this EA original and make this game. So, yeah, again, like, we can't recommend it enough. It's rated what it is on Metacritic for a reason. It's a lot of fun.
I went into the preview event knowing nothing about this game other than what it was called.
Right.
I came out of the preview thinking, wow, that was a lot of fun. I'm sure the game's going to be great. And I came out of the actual, having played the full game, saying, holy shit, that was phenomenal. Like, it was way better than even the preview was. So it just got better and better and better. I really liked this game a lot.
Me too. Cannot recommend enough. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will wrap up this bad boy. See, I almost said the Don't Be Silly Rapper Willy. I almost did it.
Well, you now you just did.
I know,
so.
But see,
there it goes.
I have to. If it comes into my brain, I have to like project it out through my mouth.
That's that how it works.
I don't know. I should have enough restraint to not do that, but you know,
you're a professional.
I am a professional.
Put that microphone in front of you and oh, it comes
you know
out.
What? Yeah, it's word vomit. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com. You can visit us at coopshow.com. Find me on Twitter @blondenerd. And if you are feeling so generous, perhaps you can leave us a little review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. Because it makes us happy and it helps us out a lot. So,
and don't forget, Reb gets a belly rub every time we get a review.
Oh, yeah. I need to start saying that at the top of the show to remind people.
Yep. Here it is. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. We'll see if
Poor Reb. He just wants a belly rub.
No, we can't give him one until we get a new review. Terrible. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. And we will be back next week.
Later.
Bye.